For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au. Well, tonight we're looking at thinking on right things, so let's open in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, Lord, and we submit ourselves to you tonight for you to have your way in this service and in this message tonight, Lord. Please open our ears and open our hearts to hear the word of God tonight. And we give you glory and thanksgiving, Lord, for the word of God, which changes our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thinking on right things. This is important. An important area. And the Lord gives us instruction on this. Thinking on right things. It impacts our life in powerful ways. So let's have a look in Proverbs 23 and verse 7a. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. The scripture in this verse says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." So what the scripture is saying to us here is that people are influenced. We are influenced by the thoughts that we think. Our thoughts influence our behaviour. They influence our emotions. They influence our outlook on things. Our thoughts impact us. So this is what the scripture is saying. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Our thoughts can be wonderful things that the scripture instructs us to think on, or they can be destructive things for people, influencing them and causing them to have all sorts of problems. So our thoughts are important, and that's why the Lord has commanded us to think on right things and to not neglect this area, because it's important. The mind is an area where the devil wages an attack on the mind, because the reason is because if he can get people thinking on the wrong things and meditating on them and ruminating on them, and it becomes a big thing for them, they're going to act on those thoughts. They're going to speak those thoughts. They're going to act on them. And that's how the devil is able to influence people and to put his agenda in on people. So he attacks the mind. That's a big area that he attacks, is the mind. And he also attacks our thought life. He can bring attack on our people's thought life. Because our thoughts can be externally put on people as well. Their thoughts, they can be suggestions from the enemy, for example. And for a Christian, they can be godly thoughts. The Holy Spirit can quicken things to our mind, thinking like a verse, for example. So the mind is an area that is attacked by the enemy. So the Lord has addressed this for us. He wants us to not neglect it, but because it influences us and because it influences our behaviour and our outlook, he wants us to ensure that we are thinking on right things. Let's go over to Romans chapter 12. And verses 2 and 3. Verses 2 and 3 in Romans 12 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So here in these verses, the Lord is addressing the mind and the thinking. He's addressing those areas in these verses. And an important thing that he says to us is not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So the renewing of our minds has the power to transform us into more and more like Jesus Christ. Transform us into more like him. So the renewing of our mind does that. And renewing of our mind means to make sure that we're thinking about those life-giving things of God, because they renew our mind. Whereas things of the world and the enemy, they are of spiritual deadness but have no life in them. There also can be vain things as well. There's a lot of vanity in the world that parades itself as wisdom and knowledge and understanding, but it's not true knowledge or understanding or wisdom because it's of the world. So he says to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And our minds are renewed by the Word of God. When we read the Word and hear it and think on it, it renews our minds. The Word of God renews our mind. It purges the old stuff and it brings the good. It brings the life-giving stuff. The Word of God does. So our minds are renewed by the Word of God, and it's our responsibility to keep our minds renewed so that we can be transformed and not conformed to the world. That means not to be like the world, to be different from the world. And in doing that, we prove, the scripture says, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we put the will of God in place in our life when we do that. So our minds are important, and we're commanded to keep them renewed. Our thinking, God's commanded us to think soberly. Think soberly. That means don't think of ourselves incorrectly. Don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. That means don't, for example, don't think that we can do anything without the Lord, because we can't. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. So think of ourselves properly in terms of what the scripture says. The scripture says, for example, we are more than conquerors. Christ always causeth us to triumph. So it's always remembering that Jesus is our strength. He's given us the power. So we think soberly, not in a puffed up way, not in a vain way, but soberly. That means it's measured by the Word of God. According to the measure, so the scripture says here, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So he's dealt faith to us to help us to think the faith way. So to think soberly. So he's addressed our thoughts, he's addressed our minds, and we are commanded to have our thinking in line with God's standards, in line with his standards. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3. Galatians chapter 6 verse 3 says here, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So again, the Lord is showing us and telling us that we have to think properly about ourselves, that we are people who need God. We need him. We need him. We need his guidance. We need to follow him. We shouldn't think that we can do things without God. We have to be thinking properly in this area to understand and know that we need the Lord and we have to rely on him. We have to follow him. We have to put our thinking on him because that renews our minds. The Lord says here, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Don't think that we can do anything without God because we need him. So our thoughts are important and we should be monitoring our thoughts. Monitoring, because they do influence us. We shouldn't let our thoughts just run wild or run off into ungodly things. It's easy to do in this world. It's easy. Because we have a lot of things in this world that encroach upon our thoughts and our mind. There's the conversations of unbelievers, for example, wrong thinking, ungodly music. There's lots of things, the voice of the enemy. We have to be vigilant and monitor what we're thinking on. We have to think about it because it influences us. It influences us and can, if we get into a state of unbelief on it, then that's a perfect target for the enemy to attack. If we allow ourselves to get like that. So to think soberly, to have our mind renewed and realize that we need God. Because conceited thinking is destructive. Let's have a look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And verses 4 and 5. The scripture says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. So to walk in charity is God's will. To walk in love is God's will. And charity is the outworking of love. It's love in action. So God wants us to walk in charity, to have charity. And charity thinketh no evil. So there's not going to be a place for evil thinking when we have charity in our hearts, which is God's will for us. He wants us to have charity, so there's no place for evil thinking. And that includes evil thinking about our brethren, evil thinking about others, evil thinking about our own life or our own circumstances. No place for evil thinking. Thinketh no evil. And if you catch yourself doing that, you have to take action against it. We have to take action against it to bring our minds back on the Word of God, because the Word of God is the truth. So back onto the truth. Have a look in James 1 and verse 21. Evil thoughts are destructive. James 1 verse 21. The scripture says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now that's telling us a lot in that verse, because firstly, as a Christian, we know that we're saved people. We have a born again spirit, a new spirit in us. We are saved. And the Lord makes a distinction here, and he says that the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. So our souls need saving. They need saving daily. Because the soul that is not saved is a soul that's thinking evil. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. Those things connected, working together. That is the thing that God has commanded us to get renewed, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the saving of your soul and the renewing of your mind, these things are linked. We need the soul saved by the engrafted word. And the reason we need it saved is because on this planet, there's so much ungodly influence to think on. There's so much ungodly influence to think on. And if a person takes the ungodly things, then it can influence them, and it can even influence their very salvation. I'll give you an example. I was listening to a person, I was watching a documentary, and I was listening to a person who had a knowledge about religious things. And he said that he came to believe in evolution. And when he came to believe in evolution, he abandoned his religious biblical knowledge, and he lost faith that there is life after death. And then he lost any belief in a free will. So he completely abandoned his belief in God because he started to adopt the thinking of evolution in his mind. So if that man was saved, then he would have lost his salvation. And that can happen to a person if they start to adopt wrong thinking patterns, and that evolution is just an example. For a person who wholeheartedly who adopts the evolution framework into their thinking, they could abandon the thought that there is a God. So that's just an example there to show you that our souls need saving. Our minds need renewing. And the engrafted word is able to save our souls. The engrafted word means that it's talking about the power that the Word of God has to actually become engrafted with us. It becomes actually part of us. Part of us, part of our spirit man. Part of our spirit man. The Word of God does. The Word of God calls itself our necessary food. Jesus said he's the bread of life, the water of life. Come drink of the water of life freely. It's something that we take into ourselves that becomes a part of us. That's how God has set things in motion for us, that when we take the Word of God, it becomes engrafted into us, into our spirit man, and it's able to save our souls. That is the thing that's able to renew our minds. So our souls, our mind, will and emotion, they need saving because we are living in a cursed world. We have those influences around us. We're living in a cursed world. It's not like we're in heaven right now where there's no sin at all and everything is the perfect will of God in heaven. But here on earth, the devil is active, and there's so much unbelief and filth around, it can impact people. So that's why this is important. The engrafted word is able to save our souls. Have a look in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and let's read verses 6 to verse 8. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So he commands us to think on the good things. In verse 6, he tells us to be careful for nothing. So to be careful means full of cares. To be careful for nothing. That, and you know where you're going to take the cares? You're going to take the cares into your soul, in the soul realm. So be careful for nothing, but rather, this is what we should do. You go to God and you load it all off on the Lord. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's the right thing for a human being to do, is to put it onto the Lord, who will take care of it. So put it to him in faith. He'll take care of it. And in return, he will give you his peace. His peace passes all understanding. So even if it passes all understanding, so you can't reason it out with the natural mind, the peace of God passes that, because he's able to accomplish the miraculous for us. Your mind may be thinking, I don't know how that's going to get done. I don't know how the Lord will do it. Well, that's not for us to be concerned about, because he can work it out. He does miracles, and he will give you his peace that passes all understanding. So his peace passes all understanding, and that peace will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It will keep your hearts and minds in a place of safety and faith and hope. So it'll keep it there. And in verse 8, he tells us exactly what to think on. So if it wasn't important, he wouldn't have said that. But he has said it. So it's obviously important to think on the right things. He's given us a list of things to think on here. So our actions should be monitoring our thoughts. And if they're not in accordance with the word, what it's saying here, then we have to change our thoughts. We have to actually change our thoughts to think on these things. This is important, because God has told us in the Word of God to think on these things. You can think about things. Remember the good things that God has done. And start to give praise for that. Start to thank him for that. Think on the promises of the Word. They are good. Think on Christ, because he's lovely. So think on these things. The purity of God's Word. The good reports in our lives and in the Bible that we read. Think on these things. Think on the virtuous things, the praiseworthy things. Think on these things. He's given us a will. He's given us the ability to actually control our thoughts. So we have to do that. We have to think on the right things, and we have to get our thinking under control. Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things to the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So what is the Lord telling us here? Three times he's repeated, take no thought for those things, what ye shall eat, what ye shall put on. Take no thought for the morrow. What's he saying to us? He's saying for us, don't take those worrisome thoughts. Don't take those unbelief thoughts. Don't take those doubtful thoughts. Don't take them. Don't take hold of them and start to ruminate on them. Don't let them take root. He's telling us not to do that. Don't take those fearful thoughts about things, because it goes in opposition to faith that God will provide and God will look after things. He's asked us the question, can we add one cubit to our stature by taking thought? Can we even do that? What is the point of it? What is the point of it? The only thing it serves to accomplish is to upset us and to give the devil the grounds to work. That's the only thing that it accomplishes. So he said, take no thought. And if we find ourselves taking thought, we have to put a stop to it straight away. And actually say, stop. I trust in God. He's commanded me not to take thought on these things and not to worry about tomorrow either. Because tomorrow, the Lord said, shall take thought for the things of itself. So he's told us not to take thought. And he repeated it as well. Have a look in Proverbs 16:32. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 32. The scripture says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Ruleth his spirit. So ruling the spirit involves ruling the mind, because our soul and spirit are interlinked. So it involves ruling the mind. We have the power to control what we're thinking on, so that it does line up with what God has told us to think on. We can rule our spirit. And the Lord says that ruling the spirit, you are powerful when you rule your spirit. You're better than one who takes a city when you rule your spirit. When you exercise control over what you think on and how you act and how you speak. And we can do it. Have a look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. This is important. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, the scripture says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So, how do we rule our spirits? It involves casting down the imaginations and recognizing that they can be externally imposed upon us from the enemy. So how do we behave for those? We cast them down. And we bring into captivity every thought. Every thought, bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's exercising control. You're using the power that God has given you in your spirit man to control your mind, control your thinking, using the Word of God. Because remember, the Word of God renews your mind. So he wants us to take action against those ungodly imaginations. Take action against them. In doing that, we're using our spiritual power. And if we have a look at 2 Timothy 1:7, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, the scripture says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You see, the power that we have been given by God and using it, the love that God has put into our hearts, they influence our mind. The sound mind follows the exercising of the power. So use your power to enforce the fact that you have a sound mind. A sound mind, not a troubled mind, a sound mind. A sound mind. So our spirit man has the power to control our minds. And what you have then is a sound mind. And lastly, Isaiah 26, verse 3. So we can control our thoughts. We can. The scriptures told us, casting down imaginations. We can control our thoughts, bringing into captivity every thought. If somebody said, "I just can't control my worrying, I just can't control it," that's not true. The scripture tells us, cast down the imaginations, bring every thought into captivity. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. Think on good things. We can. The scriptures told us we can. So Isaiah 26 verse 3, the scripture says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." So where is our mind to be stayed? It's to be stayed on God. Stay our mind on God, and he gives us that perfect peace and keeps us in the perfect peace. And this involves trusting God. It means that we trust God to keep us in perfect peace and stay our minds on him. So let's think on these things and let's close in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, Lord, and thank you that you've given us power to control our minds. You've given us power to control our thoughts and to think on good things. Thank you that when we do that, Lord, you keep us in perfect peace.
Glory.
You give us the peace of God which passeth all understanding. We thank you, Lord, for the power that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.